and the strength, he's the person you can go to, and he's the one who won't fail you. And friends may fail me, foes assail me. It's a great thing to know that. And let's sing that second verse again. Let's go ahead and sing that. Jesus, what a strength in weakness, let me hide myself in him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, he, my strength, my victory wins. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Good. Sometimes there's nobody there for you. I mean, there's people who are there for you, but they just can't help you in that. They just don't understand, or they don't have the resources, or they mean well, but they just don't know what to say. And that's where Jesus comes in. And what a help in sorrow while the billows o'er me roll, even when my heart is breaking. Well, that's good, and that's a great thought. Let's just sing that third verse. Jesus, what a help in sorrow while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, he, my helps my soul. Think about it. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Good. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Psalm 27. Psalms 27. Psalm 27, I want to talk about, as long as I have the Lord, as long as I have the Lord. Psalm 27, we'll start at verse 1. You can listen along as I read. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, thousands of enemies, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Let's pray. We'll talk about this. Lord, your word's wonderful, Father. We thank you for these beautiful verses we read. Thank you. We can sing your praises. And truly, hallelujah, what a Savior. Yet our praises can't really explain and praise you properly of how good you are. Nor will my words in this message talk about how good you are, Father. But I just pray today you would talk to some people about just that you're all they need, and that you're our all in all. And I pray that your Spirit would be in charge. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit already that we can feel. Thank you for speaking to us, and thank you for the good folks who've come here from literally all around the world, Lord. We just pray you'd speak to them. We pray that they would hear your word. We pray they'd be touched and helped. We pray that an unsaved person to be saved, that the saved would grow, and we would know more about you, and that I'd learn more, and we'd all understand your word clearly, and your Spirit would individually go to each person here and talk to them. Thank you for their coming, Lord, and thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord, we kind of jump right into what David, through the Holy Spirit, it's the Word of God, expresses about how he felt about the Lord. And he just talks about what the Lord is to him. The Lord is my light, is the first thing he says. The Lord is my light. And if you stop and think about that statement, to say God is my light, he's what makes me see. He's what illuminates my life. And that's not an uncommon saying. The Bible says in John 1:9, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The Bible says if we walk in him and have fellowship with him, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And so God is often explained as light. He explains his word as light. The entrance of thy word giveth light, the Bible says in Psalms 119. And so he explains himself as light. Light's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Light does a lot of things. It reveals for us. It makes things clear to us. It makes us see the right path. I had a baby with a sliver yesterday, and I needed the light. And slivers are smaller than they used to be, aren't they? And I can't quite see them as good as I used to be able to. And the light wasn't very good where I was, so I couldn't see. And to try to get that out, and light does a. It's wonderful to have light. When you need light, and you can't see clearly, it's a terrible. When you need light and it's and you're scared. Light's an amazing thing. When you have no light and you need it, let me say, the Lord is his light. He says, you know, I'll be able to see, I'll be able to make my way, I'll be able to find a way as long as I have the Lord. He is my light. We have a lot of things we use for light. In life, we have a lot of crutches. And we have somebody we can call, and we have a certain amount of money in the bank, and we have a certain pension fund, and we have a certain thing to make us feel good and to guide our way. And we have some book on how-tos for dummies, and we have a lot of things we use for light in our life. And okay, fine, nothing wrong with having those things. I want to say, though, make the Lord the light of your life. He's the one who guides you in the darkness of this world. This world's in darkness. The Bible says if you don't have the Lord, you walk in darkness and you do not know at what you stumble at. You'll say, what happened? Why do these things keep going wrong? And until you really know the Lord and know his word, you will not have the light to even know why things are happening to you. I find that very, very common where people are honestly and sincerely in darkness and saying, I do not know why this happens to me. And I say, you don't? When those who know the word of God and those who know the Lord, it's obvious. See, it doesn't mean you're not smart. You're just as intelligent or more intelligent than I am, certainly, and more than many other people who may see it. But they have light. And you know what? A person with a 200 IQ who's walking through a room with a bunch of obstacles in the dark stubs their toe just as bad as a person with the 80 IQ. And if you're walking through life in darkness and the Lord is not your light, you're in darkness. By the way, if you're saved and not walking with the Lord, you're in darkness. And you will not know what's going on. The Lord is our light. He's our illumination. He's what guides us. He's what removes the darkness from our life. And you know if you're in darkness in your life. You know if you're in darkness and you need that light. Number two, he's our salvation. I love that. He is my light and my salvation. He doesn't say the church is his salvation. He doesn't say that he is his salvation. He says, the Lord is my salvation. And if today, and the word salvation comes in many ways in the Bible. It can be deliverance from trouble. It can be saving you from being killed. And it could be in this context, certainly. He's our salvation. But it just says he's our salvation in general. Now, we'll read some other verses where it says this. He says that a lot. And in every context, the Bible says the Lord's our salvation. Psalm 62, verse 6 through 8, it says this, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is our salvation. There's way too many people who trust their church for their salvation. There's many, way too many people who trust their own abilities for their salvation. You know, I remember I've been in a lot of car wrecks, and I've realized in a car wreck, you know, it doesn't matter how strong you are when metal starts crumpling around you. And those airbags only do so much. Your salvation in life and what's going to keep you safe, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but safety is of the Lord. Trust God. He's your salvation. He's going to deliver you. He keeps you safe. He saves your soul. If I ask you today, why are you going to heaven? What's your salvation in? You said, because I'm a pretty good person and I'm doing a good things. You have the wrong salvation and you will not go to heaven. That's you being the salvation. Well, I got to live a good life. No, you don't. That's not what the Bible says you get to heaven by. Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You have to switch your salvation from being in you and your good deeds and you being a good person to your salvation being in Jesus dying on the cross for you, being buried and raised again, and he's your way to heaven. He's the only salvation. Neither is a salvation in any other name. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It isn't a church. It isn't being confirmed. It isn't being baptized. It isn't living a good life. None of those things are your salvation. David said, the Lord is my salvation. And you got to trust the Lord for that. The third thing is, he is the strength of our life. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, if your strength is in you, and you know, there's nothing wrong with having capabilities. There's nothing wrong with being competent. There's nothing wrong with being strong. And right now I'm getting in shape again because I lose it quick. After getting ready to go to the Philippines, I'm working to get ready for Haiti, and Haiti's very physically hard on the body. And I'm doing that, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having strength and trying to use your mind and all those capabilities. But I want to say this. You better let the Lord be your strength. Because your strength's going to, it will fade someday for sure. No matter how strong you are, the strongest of men turn 70. The strongest of women turn 70. But I want to say, you're going to have even times when you're young where your strength fails. You're going to have days where you think you got the whole world by the horns and you got it all together, and the next day you're going to fall flat on your face and say, I am so pathetic. You can have days where it stacks up and all of a sudden it flies at you and flies at you and flies at you and comes in bundles, and you're going to say, I can't do this. You're going to have times where you can't do anything. I've been through a lot of things and a lot of things, through a lot of hard things, experienced a lot of things in life. And I feel like I can handle most things and I'm pretty resourceful, and you can put me in the middle of Timbuktu and I'm fine. But you know what? There's times where I say, I can't do a thing. I'm helpless. And if you haven't experienced that yet, give it some time. Just live life. There's a time when the doctor says, can't do anything for you. One of the hardest things in the world is when someone is messed up and I can't do anything to fix them. That's my job. I love fixing people. I love fixing problems and lives and troubles. But there's a time where I just say, you know what? I have no solution. There's times in my life where I say, Lord, I'm not strong enough. I can't do this. And I'll gladly admit that to you because you know why? The good thing is, it doesn't mean I don't have strength. It just means I'm at the end of my strength, and now I have to go to the one who always has a strength. You ought to do your best. You ought to use the strength God gives you, but you will have a time when you say, God is my strength. There has been times in my life where I wouldn't have made it. I just wouldn't have made it, except for God was my strength. I've had times in my life where I've just said, I have no control on this. And you know, there are a lot of competent people and people, many of you are strong people and capable people. And you, if you don't make the Lord your strength, when you lose control and you can't do anything anymore, if you don't make the Lord your strength, you will be in a point where you are lost, hopeless, paralyzed, angry, frustrated. It'll drive you crazy because you can't do anything. I've been there many a times. You know, God is so good to me, He puts me there a lot so I can lean on Him. You say, oh, you must be weak. You check on that. I can handle a lot. But you know what? God lets me get in a lot of situations. And I was there when I was 17. I'm still there now. Last night, we were doing my roof last night, I looked at the weather forecast. That's the most useless thing you can possibly do, by the way, in Washington. Talk about no accountability in your job. If I was as right on my Bible teaching as they are on the weather forecast, in one day, I'd be fired. It wasn't supposed to rain very hard. I don't know if it rained where you were, but last night we had Monsoon Harriet park over my house. And my roof wasn't done. It started leaking all over the place. I went up there and it poured. You ever try to get on a slippery roof when it's pouring down rain? It's always fun on a 7-10 pitch. So there I was, and I was up there going around on the roof. But you can't patch enough spots, and they don't come out where they started. The leak doesn't. And at a certain point, I rolled as much out of the good, did as much as I could. And I said, you know, it's 10:30 tonight on Saturday night. I got things to do tomorrow. So I came inside. Everything's still leaking. My daughter's in her room, still leaking. Pans here, pans there. I said, well, I can't do anything else. As good as I can patch it tonight. It's dark. So I said, let's pray. I said, Lord, you're good. You know what you're doing. We thank you. But please stop the rain or make my house not get ruined. God was good to me and gracious in front of my kids. It stopped raining within seconds. It wasn't even a minute. It stopped raining. And then, about 2 hours later, it started again. You know what I did? I said, Lord, can't do anything about it. Nothing I can do now. And you know what? I'm very comfortable in that. I don't have to have control anymore. I used to be a control freak. So I realized, you know what? There's a lot of things I can't control in life. I just say, Lord, can't do anything about that one. I do with people all the time. Lord, they're messing their life up. I told them. I'm not going to... You know, you say, well, I've got to say... Listen, your 30-year-old son who's out of control, you told him what to do. Don't let him live the rest of your life devastated. Pray for him, love him. You can't control it. They have free will. You go to God and say, God, I can't do anything about this. You're my strength, Lord. I don't have strength because everything's going good. I don't have strength because my health's great. I don't have strength because everybody likes me. The Lord is my only strength. That strength never fails. So make the Lord your strength. Make the Lord the ultimate strength of your life. He is my strength. There's times you don't know what else to do. Because the Lord is your strength, because it's not the army around you, because it's not the security around you, because ultimately God is the strength of your life, you don't need to live in fear. Look at verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies, the Lord's the strength of my life. Let me go back to verse 1. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. He says, you know what? I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. You know, I gotta say, if you think the news is eventually going to calm down where there's not going to be potential wars and potential diseases, you know every flu season is going to be a terrible flu season according to the news? Every year, there's going to be a pandemic of, you know, whatever flu, brown fox flu. And it's gonna jump from, you know, every year it's a different terrible flu. And there's always, listen, in world history, recorded world history, has been 29 years of world peace. Okay? Don't think there's gonna be a time there's no war. There's always somebody killing somebody. It's called a human condition. If you think that that some politician's finally gonna make everything nice and perfect in America, then get a history book out. Okay? You're going to live in a troubled world. You think your car has enough safety features where you can get in a wreck and you won't get injured. People throw rocks off bridges and go through windshields. And the airbag won't protect you from that. Hey, listen, I'm not saying don't buckle your seatbelt. I'm not saying don't try to be safe. I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, I'm having heart problems and so I'm eating 10 bacon burgers. I'm not saying you shouldn't do what you can do. You should do what you can do. There's things you can do to help. But ultimately, you're going to have something to worry about. You know, rich people you would think would be very secure in their money worry more than poor people about their money. There's always something to worry about. There's always something to be afraid of. There's always some reason that they're going to come get you. There's always some government reason. There's always somebody who wants to kill you. You say, no, if you live it just right, you'll have peace and you won't have any problems. Are you on earth? Listen, I've taken single mamas into our home who were in a dangerous situation, and we got them out. And guess whose house the crazy boyfriend came to pounding on in the middle of the night? And I try to live peaceably with everybody. But you know what? There's a trouble world out there. There's trouble in the world. And people have road rage and people have problems. And there's, if you are going to worry, if you're going to be afraid, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I will be no more worried when I am in Haiti in a month. And Haiti's not that unsafe anymore. But you know what? I've seen people dying there. And you know, I won't be any more worried there than I will be here. Because God's just as big in Haiti as he is in America. And he's just as big when you don't like the doctor as when you like the doctor. And he's just as big when, listen, when a drunk driver crosses and goes head on with you, you're dead. Doesn't matter what car you're driving. Doesn't matter how many safety features you have. But you know what? God can also make that drunk driver drop his keys and not find him before he gets to me. I'm not going to live in fear. Of whom shall I fear? He says, I don't care if a whole army is against me. I'm not going to live in fear. Why should you live in fear when you've got the God of the universe as your strength? The problem is something on earth is our strength, and something on earth is going to give us security, and something on earth is going to take care of us. Listen, there are a lot of people who've had a lot of money and a lot of institutions and banks, and they collapse. And it wasn't secure. There's people who had money and the money collapsed and they couldn't buy anything. There's sometimes where riots occur and you can't go to the store. Doesn't matter how secure you think you are. You're one disaster from disaster. So you better trust in the Lord. You better look to God and let him be your strength. And then don't worry. Of whom shall I fear? I'm not worried if a whole army is against me. In this will I be confident. The Lord's my strength. The Lord's going to take care of me. The Lord can stop anything. The Lord can take care of anything. And we've got to do that. Number four, his presence is our ultimate desire. It's a little bit humorous to me, the verse. Verse 4 is an interesting verse to me because of the way it's worded. Notice it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And he's going to list three things. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What does he want here? Ultimately, what he wants here is one thing. He wants to be in the presence of God. He wants to see God's beauty. He wants to be in the presence of God. He wants to dwell in the presence and power of God in his temple. He ultimately wants the presence of God. The presence of God is his ultimate desire. Let me take you to Psalm 63. You know, I want to say this in life. Ultimately, what you'll find at some point in your life, if you're wise, is you'll find out what you really wanted was the Lord. Now, what you tried, that you thought you wanted, didn't cut it. You thought it was going to. But ultimately, what you wanted was the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 1, Thou art my, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so have I seen in Thy sanctuary. It's a very similar verse. He wants the Lord. It doesn't matter what the devil's going to steer you to. The devil will steer you and say, as soon as you get the right relationships in your life, you'll be happy. And you'll find out the right relationships in your life are nice and a blessing and praise God and they're good, but they aren't going to ultimately satisfy you. As soon as I get enough money, I'll be satisfied. That's maybe the devil. That's where the devil steers you. But you'll never get there where you have enough money. The devil will say, well, just a little bit more. Just a little more. Just a little bit more. Well, as soon as my problems are all gone, I'll be happy. As soon as this happens, it doesn't matter what. As soon as I am popular, as soon as people know me, as soon as I have this relationship, as soon as I get this together, the devil's going to make you. See, there's this longing in you that you need something. It's the thirst that God puts in us for Him. But ultimately, what you long for is the Lord. Once you get the Lord, if you have money, great. If you don't have money, great. If you have the right relationships, great. If you don't have them, they're bonuses. You enjoy them, but they're what satisfies you. They're just bonus. And thank God, there's something you praise God for. But you know what? It doesn't matter what you think you needed. And hopefully, most people never realize that unless they're taught it out of the Bible in their teens. Hopefully, some people will learn it in their 20s. Using the 30s, they start realizing, you know, I kind of got what I thought I needed and wanted. Now I need something else. Ultimately, what you need is God. God puts a thirst for Him in you. And you can try this, and you can try that, and you can try this and try that. Go ahead. But eventually you're going to find out that it satisfies for a little bit and it's fun for a little while. And then you need something more. And ultimately what you need is the Lord. His presence was His ultimate desire. I love Psalm 16 and verse 11. It says that this, how God is going to completely satisfy you. Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In His presence. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Ultimately, the presence of God is His longing. His soul is thirsting for the Lord. He wants the Lord. And I want to say this, if you can get God's presence in your life, you can please God in your life, you will find that your time with God, your alone time, the most satisfied spot you will be on earth will be in your alone time with God. When you're close to Him, when your life is right, when you're living for the Lord, you're going to church, you're reading your Bible, you're loving the Lord with all your heart, and you're close to Him, you will find a satisfaction where your longings are taken away for the world and all that it offers. See, those things, that doesn't look like a big deal anymore. And those who've never experienced that, I can just tell you, it sounds strange, but you'll say about money, eh. Now, it's nice to pay your bills, but you know, money, it's fine. Why? When everybody longs for something so much. You know, I don't think a person who wins the lottery is happier than me. They're just, they think that money's going to give them what they want. No wonder within 10 years, one third of all jackpot winners, you know, over double digit million winners, one third of them within 10 years are bankrupt. Not that as much as they used to. No, they're completely bankrupt within 10 years. And then after that, you expand it out, it's worse. Why? Because the money didn't satisfy them. They kept spending and spending and spending. You know, what you really need is God. That's what you need is the Lord. Nothing else is going to fix it. That's what you can keep on trying, but when you get Him and you're close to Him and you get satisfied with Him, all the things you long for and thought you needed are going to seem awfully boring. You know, sitting there with the steak in front of you and somebody's trying to shove bread and butter in front of you and say, you got to have this. You used to long for the bread and butter, and now you got the steak. Okay, bread and butter's fine, but you know, I got what I want right here. That'll woke you up. Always talk about food. That always wakes Baptists up. Food? What? We eating? And, there we go. Number five. He can save us from the deep trouble life can give us. Let's go back to our text, Psalm 27. He can save us from the deep trouble life can give us. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 5. It says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. God hides you in trouble. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up over mine enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me also and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, I said in my heart, I will seek thy face. You know, in time of trouble, he puts you above the mess. He's going to lift my head above mine enemies. Boy, that's a good feeling. So when God's not your strength, you're not serving the Lord, your enemies are above you, looking down on you, you're overwhelmed, you can't breathe. Troubles and trials and people and worries are overwhelming you. When you get close to God, he hides you in the secret of his pavilion. You will go into a cave and you don't hear the wind anymore. Your roof quits leaking. And you're in a shelter. And he hides you twice, it says there. What a wonderful thing when the hand of God comes over you and hides you from what's overwhelming you, from what's too noisy, from what's too scary for you. It hides you. And God takes you there into this pavilion, in this tabernacle, in this secret place, he calls it. And you're hidden. He lifts your heads above your enemies. You can breathe and see the whole picture and see the end of the trail. And you are now. Why? Because God is bigger than your trials. He can save us from the trials. He takes us above it all. He shelters us, it says. And really, one of the focus is last is when others fail, he will be there. When others fail, he will be there. Verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Well, that's a powerful verse. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The wording's beautiful, as God's wording always is in the Word of God. When your father and mother, your people who you think would stick with you, and, you know, mom and dad always love you. And for you, it might not be father and mother. It might be boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, sister, aunt, cousin, neighbor, best friend. It could be anybody. When they forsake you, the Lord, in other words, you get dropped. Because it says the Lord will take you up. You know, I've been blessed, and many of you have been blessed like I have. You have people in your life who are rocks in a good way. They are solid. They are, well, you got a modern vernacular, you got to pick every word carefully. And God said, and you look around and you say, you know, I got somebody in my life I can count on. And I got, and I'm blessed to have some of those in my life. But you know, I've learned, humans are fickle, unstable, changeable creatures. And even the best of them. There are a few that are, there are a few who I have complete confidence are going to be right and doing the right thing and until I die. And they're, until they die. I just know that they're not going to change and do wrong and be there and they're going to do the right thing. And then they fall. I'd love to tell you, you know, you come back to Open Door in 20 years, I'll be right here preaching the same word of God, preaching the same, being exactly the same. I've been doing it for longer than that, haven't changed a bit. But you know what? If that's your hope, better anchor it on something else. I'm a human. We humans, we has issues. And we mess up, we fail, we're weak. We change, we die. We get different priorities. We're not perfect. Too many people have put their trust in man. And man failed them and they quit trusting God. Why? They didn't quit trusting God, they never trusted God. If their anchor was in God, then when the man failed, they'd have said, ouch, my anchor is still in God. Their anchor wasn't a man. They thought their anchor was in God through a man. Doesn't work that way. It only works if that man's anchor hangs on to God. That woman's anchor hangs on to God. That woman, and how many kids have I seen who did pretty good until the parent, that parent who was spiritual, the grandma who was spiritual, died? Got the wrong rock in your life. He only is my rock and my salvation. You gotta, when others fail, the Lord will be there. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Let me take you to Psalm chapter 60, and a lot of verses on this. I want you to understand, you better make God realize that the Lord will be there for you when nobody else is. When the person who said they loved you says they don't love you anymore, God never changed. Psalm chapter 60 and verse 11. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. I'm going to read out of John chapter 16. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. But there's going to be a time where people aren't there for you. There'll be a time when people are there for you, but they cannot help you. There's a time when people are there for you, but they do not understand. There's just things you can't tell people sometimes. You better have this relationship with the Lord, be close and strong. And I'm not talking about this thing where you're in and out of church and in and out of Bible and then serving God sometimes, love the Lord, and back into your old life. I'm talking about a solid life anchored in Christ, there in Christ, that when the storm hits, your anchor is already hooked. Because those of you who aren't close to God, the storm usually comes when your anchor's not hooked. Because it's not an accidental storm. It's sent by Satan. And your anchor's not hooked. And you said, okay, it's just 1 week out of church. Boom! And you're crushed against the rocks. You stay anchored in Christ all the time. You don't drift an inch. You don't leave God for a day. You abide in Him. So John 16, verse 32, it says, behold, the hour cometh, Jesus speaking, yea, is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. Remember, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me and you're all going to abandon me. And they said, I'd never do that, Jesus. I'd die for you. He says, hey, before tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. I'd never do that. For the cock crows three times, he's denied three times. You would think that man who traveled with Jesus, a disciple, an apostle, the inner core, Jesus could count on Peter. No. All of them scattered. And he told him, you're all going to leave me and abandon me. Watch this. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every one to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to be alone. Everyone's going to abandon me, but I'm not alone. Can I tell you, I know people might have abandoned you. I know people might have left you, and we talked about this last week, but do not think that God is the same as them. God will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews says. I am the Lord, I change not. Put your anchor in God. When people are not there for you, and people fail you, and they mock you as a Christian, when they leave your life, when you fail and deserve it, and you don't have any friends left. Because sometimes it isn't their fault, sometimes it's your fault. You blew it. Okay? Sometimes you blew it, and now you don't have anybody. Can I tell you? When people forsake you, the Lord will still take you up. You need to make the Lord what is all, your all in all. When others fail, He will be there for you. Do we read Psalms chapter 60 and verse 11? We read a lot of verses out of Psalm. Let me read Psalm 60 and verse 11. Oh, I said that. Vain is the help of man. We read that verse. No man can stick with you like the Lord. Paul found this out, 2 Timothy. And I'm just reading a lot of verses to you here. Paul found this out, that people won't always stick with you, but Jesus will always stick with you. Paul was a great apostle. He had all these great Christians with him, but then real troubles came and he found himself abandoned. He found himself alone. He found out nobody else would stick with him. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. 2 Timothy 4:16. But all men forsook me. I pray God this may not be laid upon their charge. Huh, Paul didn't get bitter at those people who abandoned him. He's not with them anymore, but he just moved on and focused on how good God was. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by fully known. You know what he said? He said, I was there doing this mission work for God. I was winning souls. I was preaching. And all of a sudden, they started attacking us. And I said, hey, guys, that's... Guys? Guys? And the crowds attacked him, and nobody was there for him. And instead of going, where'd they go? Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Like we do. We focus on the people who failed us. He said, Lord, nobody's with me. I need your help. That's what Paul did. Paul didn't get bitter. He said, I pray that that wouldn't be laid to their charge. A little different than we do it, isn't it? We say, Lord, I pray you'd lay everything on them. Times two. But he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. I got up and I preached to all those people who were attacking me, and I let them have it, and I let them have the word of God, and I preached and helped them. And the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and the preaching was fully known. The job got done. It was just fine. I made it without him. I made it without him. I made it without them. Because I had God. No excuses. Get her done. Succeed in life and succeed for God. Whether your mom is with you, dad is with you, brother's with you, sister's with you, whether people abandon you, whether they're not there, you got something you have to do. And he said, by me, the preaching was made fully known. God strengthened me. Listen, you can make it in life even though you got abandoned. Boy, that was strong over here, weak over there. No man stood with me. You can make it in life even though you've been abandoned. Amen. The Lord can go with you and help you make it. God can strengthen you. Vain is the help of man. It's bonus stuff. You got to push the car up the hill by yourself. If somebody comes up and helps you push it, great. But you got to pray God gives you strength. Because sometimes people don't show up. And sometimes they find out it's heavy, and they quit. You need to make God your rock, your salvation, your strength, your refuge. When others fail, the Lord will be there. I'm going to take you to 1 Samuel 30. I'm going to tell you a story, and it'll be done. 1 Samuel 30. When others fail you, the Lord will be there. The verses I could read, Isaiah 40:11. I don't have time for the verses. 1 Samuel 30. David is with, David's being chased for his life by a man he loved and helped, Saul. David's running for his life. He eventually, a bunch of people come to David and hang out with him, and he takes them, makes them soldiers. He goes to a city called Ziklag, and that becomes his base city where his family and his wife and kids and all these soldiers, wives and kids were, and they go off to go fight in a different country because they are got to get out of Israel because they're trying to kill David there. So David goes, and he's doing some errands and doing some things in the other countries, and he comes back, and all he sees of his city that he left where his wife and kids were was smoke and flames. They come back in, and they get there, and their wife and kids are gone. There's no bodies. They're just gone. Everything they have is burnt down. And they begin to weep. It said him and his soldiers are with him. They wept until they could not weep anymore, it says. Verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people speak of stoning him. Let me go back to verse 4. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were gone, and his children were gone. So David's standing, can you imagine your spouse and children captured by an enemy soldiers and gone, you don't know where. David is distressed. He's lost his spouse. He's lost his children. He's wounded. He's hurt. And all of a sudden he hears people talking over there. And they said, David is a terrible leader. I can't believe that. If it weren't for him, I'd have my wife and kids anymore. Let's get rocks. Let's kill him. Let's stone him to death. That's a bad day. It's already bad enough, David, when you lost your wife and kids. Now the people who are with you are going to kill you for it. Hey, guys, I didn't plan this. I like my wife and kids. And David is just as hurt and broken as everybody else. He's just as discouraged as everybody else. And now they're talking about killing him, and he says, nobody. I have nobody. I don't have a wife. I don't have my kids. I don't have my fellow soldiers. I don't have anything. He's all alone, and he does the right thing. Instead of arguing with them, you don't logic with people who just lost their wife and kids. David, it says in verse 8, when they spake of stoning him and he didn't know what else to do and he had nobody left and he's like, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to go through this. I don't want any of this. I'm not happy either, God. He says, you know what? Lord, you're all I have. And David, it says, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He says, God, you've been with me through everything I've been through. You've done miracles for me. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Why? He had nothing else to encourage himself in. You'll have those days. It seems like everything's wrong. He knew the Lord was all he had. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David finally, when he encouraged himself in God, he got the strength he needed. He says to Abiathar the priest, he says, go and let's pray about this and ask God what we should do. And he said, God, what should we do? And God says, pursue. And he's, all right, guys, let's go. We're going. We're going to go pursue. We're going to get our kids and our wives and family back. And he said, really? He says, yeah, let's go. Why? David was on top side. David got the victory. David was above it all because he encouraged himself in God. He didn't try to have a positive attitude about how things were going. He didn't try to twist things into positive. It was terrible. Things were going bad. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, you can do that any bad day you want. You can say, God still loves me. I still have a home in heaven. I've still got a Bible. I've still got a God who will never leave me nor forsake me. I've still got a great Bible preaching church and handsome pastor. I've still got two eyes and two ears and hopefully you have that. I can walk and talk and see. You know what? I'm going to spend in heaven forever in heaven someday, and problems won't be there. You know, I've got a God who can handle any problem. You can encourage yourself. I've got a mansion. They might this piece of junk might be leaking everywhere, but you know, I got a mansion in heaven. Your car might break down, but you'll get a horse up in heaven that you can ride forever. No oil changes. Listen. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. The Lord hasn't changed. The Lord still loves me. Nothing can separate me from God's love. Heaven's still my home. You can encourage yourself. He knows how to be more than enough when he is the only one. I want you to get that. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He knows how to be more than enough when he is the only one. He gives this thing called grace to make it. He will be what you need if you'll go to him. He's a lot cheaper and no side effects than a pill. He can be what you need. Why on earth would he make anything else our security, our strength, our salvation? I recommend you make God all of that. Him. Not a church, not a religion, not a man, not a woman, not a spouse, not a kid. Enjoy all those things. Praise God for those things. But you better make him your rock. Because you won't be afraid and nothing will move you and you can make it. Or you can be blown about by everything in this crazy life. Up and down and up and down and good and bad and terrible. Stop. Your anchor is holding to a tree floating in the ocean. Put your anchor in Jesus and he will be enough. I want to say this, but if he's not your salvation, you have no hope of that. You got to be saved first. Christian, he's enough. He's enough. Just get close to him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. What a great chapter this Psalm 27 is, Lord. Other chapters that say similar things. Your word's wonderful, Lord. We certainly live in a chaotic world, and we're thankful for a God who can be all that we need. Now, Lord, we enjoy the other nice things. We like it. Our car's running good, and our house is in good shape, and our finances are good, and our relationships are good, and all that's great, Lord. It's bonus, but it isn't the foundation of our joy and peace, Lord. It shouldn't be. May that just be a bonus that gets the added on top. May we make you our all in all. May we make you our rock and our salvation. May we you be the strength of our life. May you be our refuge in times of trouble. Lord, may we quit trusting in the wrong things. I pray today if somebody isn't saved and hasn't trusted Jesus, I pray today would be their day. I pray they'd accept you, Father. You invite them. You draw them. I pray you draw them so strong that they would accept Christ today. I pray that they would say yes to you. I pray that those who are saved today would get close to you, would sink the anchor all the way down to the rock. And not live in bitterness and failure in their life because some people failed them. May they look up at you and encourage themselves in you. We just give you these things. I pray whatever you needed done, you spoke to us, and I pray we got it today. And I pray great things would happen in our lives through thy word and through this message, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed.